Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
To the intensity of the news panel, as always on Sunday morning, we're going to take a little bit of a more relaxed pace now because my next guest... It's going to take us through the art of the shanachal. Some of us have inspirational quotes in our fridge or our desk to help us throughout the day. But how many of us actually use the wisdom of the old Irish proverbs? Fionn O'Nuaillean does. He's an author, a holistic therapist and gardener. Fionn, you're very, very welcome.
Thanks, Daryl. It's great to be here.
Listen, you say, before we get to the shanachal themselves, you say we are born resilient. Does that mean we, you know, are able to cope with anxiety, or does anxiety serve a purpose?
Yes, I mean, there's two things. Anxiety serves a purpose because it's the survival mechanism. So you get butterflies in the belly when you stand too close to the cliff to remind you that you may fall off the cliff. And you get this, you know, we've all heard when people are talking about stress, this thing of fight or flight. And it's that thing that you get this surge of adrenaline. Now, that comes from when you may have heard the twig snap behind you on the hunt. And you're thinking, did the boar or the wild bear sneak around behind me? And you get enough adrenaline and panicky sensations to either flight to run away or to fight to punch it on the nose. The problem is that in modern society, the twigs are snapping more than the weekly hunt. The twigs are snapping 20, 30 times a day in traffic, in the office, you know, and then how our thoughts do stuff. So we can be a little bit more hyper anxious. It's less of a survival mechanism and it can actually stilt us in life.
But it's a huge hangover.
We've taken something that was meant to help us and we've turned it into something to harm us. But the great thing is that we're born with neuroplasticity. So we can retrain the brain to actually dial that back and just be anxious when we need to be around genuine risky behaviour, not every what if. And then this thing of kind of how we are naturally resilient. If you think when we're born, we know nothing. You know, that we have to learn to walk, we have to learn how to talk, we have to learn how to make a grip, how to latch on, how to understand kind of language and communicate and make ourselves known. And that's trial and error. That's getting up, falling down, getting up, going again. And that's the brilliant thing. This is our innate resilience, is that we have this capacity to do trial and error until we get it right. Mm. And we kind of forget that. Sometimes what happens is maybe even like with parenting, where you get to the point where you're kind of being bribed to finish your broccoli on the plate, as opposed to the enjoyment of trying to get it into your mouth. So all of a sudden, what originally was a task reward thing becomes something that you have to endure or suffer to get to the task. And then we go into that mindset. So how about we go back to the early days, the wonder and the awe and the joy.
And you have in this beautiful little book, it's 52 Proverbs to Build Resilience Against Anxiety and Panic. It is a very special Irish holistic wisdom. How did you come to use the shanachal? How come you went back and kind of reached into the Irish proverbs or the Irish sayings to do that? Like, what brought you on that journey? Had you gone through a period of anxiety?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I kind of had hypervigilance from early childhood and I had a lot of kind of depression, some adverse childhood experiences and stuff like that. And I had to do a lot of work to get beyond that. And really, this book started, and I know we're all tired. Every project seemed to have started in COVID and they're all coming out now. But I was just looking at how all of the hard work I had done to not be a germaphobe, to be able to communicate with people, to look people in the eye, to touch the bus bell and all of that sort of stuff, that all of a sudden during the COVID period, there was this kind of pushing you back to the old nasty factory settings of the hypervigilance. And so I wanted to write a book about anxiety and depression and various other bits.
Because especially during lockdown, the big fear, and it's been borne out in some quarters, that it would bring about mental health issues and it would bring that about. So that sort of inspired you to reach back. It is beautiful, beautiful Irish sayings and proverbs. Why don't we start with the first one? And your Irish may be better than mine, but Ní bheidh sé ag fhoireann i gcónaí. It won't always be raining.
It won't always be raining. So, okay. If you've been looking out the window the last couple of days, you're saying, Fionn, you're an awful liar.
It'll be raining for at least the next 40 days.
Yeah, look, I canoed out here this morning, you know. But really what our ancestors were saying there was they weren't talking about the weather. they were talking about emotional disturbance. That's what they were saying. They were saying, like the old great Jewish proverb, this too shall pass.
Yeah.
They're saying this is just a temporary situation. Don't make it a permanent thing. Don't overdwell on it. And it appears in like, you know, there's two tides in the sea. Every flood has an ebb. It keeps cropping up. There's more than one version of it out there to truly make it sink in. And for me, looking at that kind of proverb, I think that's the essence of the book. It's to get to the point where you accept that.
That was almost the title of the
book. Was nearly the title of the book when I was writing it first. Yeah, it was the working title I had in mind. Because what I was trying to say to people is, what happens when you start living an anxious life, or when you start becoming programmed to be hypervigilant, or when you start getting a bit panicky about stuff, is you're kind of reading the landscape for all the negative, and the negative is transitory. So when the rain comes down and the shower happens, that's not the weather all of the time. The sun,
it'll,
you know, it'll change. So if we get to that point, that's brilliant. And the book is peppered with kind of all different types of exercises from cognitive behavioural therapy and mindfulness and positive psychology.
One of them is the sunny day to-do list.
So that's the idea. So that even on a wet day, or even on a day where you're not feeling really confident about stuff, to actually sit down and make a list of the good things you'll do when you are feeling better, or when the sun comes out. Go to the zoo, go get a gelato, go out to the beach and bathe your feet or whatever. You know, that's the two things that's happening there is, one, you're stepping out of the gloom, you're stepping into the positive by making this list. So all of a sudden you're giving your brain a chance to fantasize about the positive things, not about the what ifs and the darkness and the fear.
We're sort of hardwired to do that, aren't we?
Yeah, we've a negative bias that's built in that, which is there to help us survive. But again, we can turn things against ourselves.
And so, by writing them down, that sort of helps sort of reinforce that message.
Yeah. And then you stick it on the fridge and you have a safari list. You have something to do. So the first time you do get up and you pull the curtains and the sun is there, you can go, okay, right, we'll do number three on the list today.
So what do you do in a like an everyday interaction if, you know, somebody's beeping the horn behind you, and that's sort of getting your, you know, kind of getting your gut or getting your sort of cortisol up, or you're getting triggered by that.
So that's what it is. So like, how do you melt the cortisol? So like this flight or fight thing, well, really what happens is it takes about 20 or 30 minutes for the cortisol to melt out of the system. So our ancestors either done that by wrestling with the wild boar or running away and trying to climb up the tree. It's very difficult for us then to lose that, to burn that off. Now, can you step out of the car and jog on the spot for 20 minutes guards come? you know, maybe you can do that in the office environment. You can just go into the back room and jog it off, or shadow punch or whatever, and burn off.
Or just break the circuit, just get up and walk away.
Well, so that's the other thing. So then, is there another way of breaking the circuit? Well, there is. So if you think of when you're children and you kind of bang your elbow or your knee, the first thing you do is you rub it. And why? It's because the pleasure sensational signalling travels to the brain quicker than the ouchy signalling. So again, can you have a circuit breaker where maybe you step into a mindful moment? That counting to 10, but count to 10 with purpose. And I have one called the 5-4-3-2-1, which is the kind of, you know, see 5 things, hear 4 things, touch 3 things, smell 2 things, taste 1 thing. You know, so if you're having a panic attack in a lift, well, maybe you feel the wall of the lift and go, oh God, that's wood or that's metal or whatever. And all of a sudden your brain is receiving the signal of reading, and it's cutting out on the panic.
And it's breaking that circuit. Another one which I liked was, one should first loosen the knot that is near the throat. That sort of speaks to that. How do you break that sense of panic or an anxiety attack coming on?
And again, the issue there would be, I mean, there's a couple of different ways of thinking about it. So very often when you have a problem, an issue, so say you might be worried about, you know, paying the bills. And then all of a sudden you're thinking, oh my God, what if I lose the job? And then you're thinking, oh, how would I lose the job? Do I get on with my colleagues at work? Am I late? Oh my God, the car needs a service.
You're running away with yourself.
So it bubbles up, it multiplies. Yeah. And all of a sudden you have 15 problems instead of one problem. So you have a multitude of knots. But really what you need to do is track it back to what's the most prescient one of all of them. What's the one that's causing you the most problems? So that's a little bit of analytical thinking that you need to engage in and go, well, actually, I am securing the job, but maybe I could deal with getting into work more often on time. So maybe I need to go get a bike. Maybe I do need to get the car fixed. Maybe I do need to find a better route there. And you are then engaged in problem resolving. You're not stuck in just having the problem. You're actively tackling it. But then the other thing then again is, that's that thing of like, well, the knot in the throat, how does it manifest itself? So how does your panic or your anxiety come about? Is it sweaty palms? Is it brain fog? Is it a full-on panic attack where you think you're going to have a heart attack?
Sharp intake of breath.
Yeah.
One which I am... Again, it seems obvious, but it's good to be reminded of it. Two people see a thing that one may not.
Keen Bert Rudd, Nach Feci Dina Oan. And it's kind of saying that, you know, two heads are better than one. And you'll see this proverb crop up, not just in Ireland, but in all cultures across the world. And it's basically saying we are social beings. You don't need to tackle this alone. There is help and there is support. And very much in Ireland, if you look at the majority of things we do, it's all about the pro-social aspect. So, you know, every festival in Ireland, whether it's Halloween or whether it's, you know, Samhain or St. Bridget's Day or, you know, even Bilberry Sunday going up the hill, it's getting out amongst the community, you know. And there's the old proverb, you know, we live in the shadow of other people. Well, that's not we live in a shadow, that we're shadowed out by them. That's we live by our proximity around people. So to be pro-social, to get out there and do stuff, to communicate with somebody else. And it's that thing that somebody else may say to you, you know, now this may be talking to a friend, this may be talking to a family member, a GP, a phone line if needs be, a drop-in
someone
centre.
Someone who sort of serves as a mirror of sorts, who sort of maybe takes you out of it. Are you a Gaelcore? You know, how was it that you went in search of the Irish proverbs? Because of course, since the beginning of time, humanity has had its proverbs, and some are distinct and unique, others aren't. So what made you go back looking for the Irish proverbs?
Well, when I'm not writing, I work as a social and therapeutic horticulturalist. So I work with children at risk, adults in recovery, people who are dealing with mental health issues. It's not always the kind of somebody with arthritis or post-stroke recovery. It's using the garden as a healing tool to get people beyond.
Of course, a lot of those proverbs
And a lot of those problems are grounded in stuff connected in with kind of agriculture and the land and that sort of stuff. But it's also what I'd found over the 20 odd years that I've been doing that really a lot of people, you know, the main thing people are looking for is some sort of validation. They don't feel accepted and they're looking for somebody to actually hear them. And then a lot of other people, they're not grounded in something. They don't feel like that they belong to their community or to the nation or to their family. Maybe they're disenfranchised.
They're isolated.
And a lot of issues with drugs then is, you know, you're compounding a trauma with an extra layer of guilt and misery, and that gives you even more separation. So for me to talk about the stuff in terms of an Irish cultural context, that was a great way to be able to start a conversation about something else.
Did this one make it into, Paddy says, did this make it into the book? A similar Shanuckle to the proverb about the rain is, being all on, the 2 days were in it. In others in life, there are good days and bad days.
And bad days. Yeah. You know, and it's even like that. This is this thing of where, you know, Halloween is the start of the dark half of the year and Bridget's Day, the 1st of February, is the start the bright half of the year. So that we were always aware that there's light and dark going on. And it's just like those, like the other one, you know, sunshine follows gloom. It may be a gloomy day, but the clouds will part. Sunshine will come back out again. And then sunshine is our natural serotonin, the happy hormone, or synthesizing vitamin D on the skin. So this is the thing with the pro-social thing. Get outside. Interact with other people.
The another one which is in the book is, and it, again, I think a lot of people will identify with, your having repetitive negative thoughts. You'll never plough a field by turning it over in your mind in Irish.
Yeah,
it is a beautiful phrase.
Yeah. Ní éine smaoin of an tráth of dit. You know, now forgive me if I'm saying that in a very Dublin accent. But again, a lot of these proverbs would have been collated at source. So some might come.
Is that a kind of a 100% Irish proverb?
That's,
you know,
100%.
The way there's ones of different provenance.
Yeah,
but
because even like that, like we have one, and that's basically about, look, don't procrastinate. Don't have a repetitive thought. Don't have get up and be proactive in your life and do something positive. But like, this one is very uniquely Irish, because again, it's about the turning of the soil, it's about the land, it's deeply ingrained in all of that. But then we have stuff like when wine is in, sense is out, which comes from Seneca. It's a Roman thing. And that goes back to when we had the hedge skills and that the educational system went underground.
It's the oral tradition.
But it's an oral
finding
tradition.
Finding expression in the written form.
Yeah, it's these guys who are, during the penal laws, who are fleeing from persecution, are still teaching the children, not just mathematics and geometry, but, you know, the philosophy of ancient Greece and ancient Rome, you know. And one of the ones that I'm often amazed at is this thing of food is not better than sense. Now, we chose to continue that even through the famine. Do you know what I mean? So, like, what are we saying to one another, you know, coming out of that massive, you know, genocide, atrocity, whatever you want to put, you know, on it. But whether, you know, even we had natural disasters before that, we kept this up. Food is more better than our food
and,
is not.
And we go back to it constantly. Another one you had it, Escal Lishlia Bioguler, enough is as good
as a feast.
And what's that a reminder of?
And that's about gratitude. That's about this thing of like, look, you know, you may only
count your blessings.
Count your blessings. You know, you may only have a small bit today, but at least you have something. Now, again, in the modern world, and I've, you know,
toxic positivity, gratitude.
Yeah. And like, okay, I don't think, like, the toxic positivity thing, the more positive you are, the better, you know. So, I mean, I'm a big fan of, like, the positive psychologists and stuff like that. But even our own Maureen Gaffney, who wrote the book about flourishing, who's saying, look, if you have a negative experience in a day or a week or a lifetime, you need to replace that with three positives, because that's the only thing that overrides. So, you know, the American Army, when they were dealing with people with post-traumatic stress disorder, got them to go hunt the good, you know, replace the negative with the positive. So this thing about having gratitude and being positive.
It's a question of degree as much as kind, isn't it? Because sometimes you can take that's why you call it toxic gratitude, if it's going too far and maybe.
So the toxic version of it would be, you know, don't mistake, you know, don't actively, maybe there is nothing to be grateful for at the moment in this particular situation. Maybe you're in a bad marriage or a bad job and just thinking, well, somebody loves me, or at least I have a job and I'm so grateful. That's stopping you at that point from going and getting out of that situation and retraining or meeting somebody new or going to see a solicitor or getting couples therapy or whatever it is. So the toxic gratitude is something that where you're expressing gratitude for something that's not doing
maybe
you any good.
So that's not doing you well.
Yeah.
So you have to mind what I loved actually about reading the book was that I was hearing my grannies, long gone, but I was hearing my grannies, whether it was the English language or the Irish language versions of it, and that kind of that old Irish wisdom. Do you think we're losing that, you know, in kind of in the digital age, or does that wisdom just, it does filter down no matter what?
Well,
are you optimistic about the future of it?
I'm optimistic about the future of the Irish language, because there's so much going on lately where the Irish language has moved into every sphere of culture again. The Gaeltachts didn't just stay as reservations. You know, they seeded other stuff. We have radio.
Pop-up Gaeltachts.
Yeah, you pop up Gaeltachts all over the place, which is really, really brilliant. Now, in terms of, you know, hearing Granny's wisdom, well, you know, Granny's wisdom now is probably coming from the 1990s rather than the 1850s. You know, so what she has to say, I'm not too sure.
A lot of the proverbs have endured. They have endured, you know, whether they're distinctly Irish or have been, you know, borrowed from different traditions, I suppose, which maybe just goes to the essence, which is at their kernel.
And culture is what we choose to pass on. So I wrote this book, even though it's a book about anxiety, I've interwoven it with the culture because I want that culture to pass on. Now, I find that that connection to the culture is what was a solace and a salve to me and what helped me dig myself out of
literally
out of the complications I was in. And it's worked with so many people that I've worked with. I thought, look, there's something in this. So when authors are writing books that are incorporating this type of wisdom, then it's in the public sphere, then it's in the kind of the communal consciousness.
Someone says, I hope it isn't 90s grannies, because the theme tune from them would be no, there's no limit, which would be a terrible thing to pass down to future generations. What is your favourite proverb out of the whole collection that you brought together?
probably it won't always be raining, because that's the key to all of it, you know. So that's like, and again, that's appropriate to every age and every circumstance. So it doesn't matter whether it's the kids starting school, you know, it's that thing of like, you just have to get through the day, or whether you're in the dentist chair. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, this is just a short endurance of whatever it is. And in 20 minutes, I'll be on the street blinding everybody with my teeth. You know,
yeah,
you know,
I liked it'll the pass. One is Tretic Licus na Niart, cunning is superior to strength.
Yeah. And we often see that. That's often seen as like, you know, the cute whore or the sly fox type thing. We often see it in a kind of a very political context. But again, that's going back to that thing of food is not as important as sense. And as Irish people, we were very much aware that we were Homo sapien, that we were the wise humans, and that wisdom was valued and treasured. And that's why these nuggets are passed on. There are other proverbs from around the world that are not really survival skill batons. They're more witty idioms, where for us, every single one of them has an encoded message contained
within
it.
And what about Ismayan Tankara and Tiarda? The pot hook in the fireplace is a good anchor. What does that mean?
Well, you see, that kind of comes from the time when, you know, we would gather around the fireplace. So this is pre-television, pre-radio, and you'd wait for the Shanachie to come, you know, and you'd hear the stories and you'd share the stories. And, you know, sitting by the fire itself in the evening, looking at the flicker of the flames, that was the early technology. That was the distraction from your woes and worries, you know, just sitting there and not thinking. And some people call that, you know, mind dumping or thought dumping, where you let, rather than being mindful and you're trying to kind of edit your thoughts and let go of them, this is one where you let them fully just flow out and disappear and you don't worry about them anymore.
Yeah, it was just so lovely, Fionn Nuala, just to see you kind of reaching back into the past for those anchors in all of the wisdom to provide something which is very contemporary, a very, very contemporary guide to managing anxiety and panic using old school Irish holistic wisdom. And it's a beautiful collection by Fionn Nuala. It's called 52 Proverbs to Build Resilience Against Anxiety Anxiety and Panic, Irish Holistic Will. I'm feeling much more chilled now. In comparison. But look, thank you for joining us today. We're going to take a break. Thank you.
Email brendan@rte.ie.